that like?
I like it.
Sitting in a sleazy snack bar, sucking sickly sausage rolls. Slipping down slowly, slipping down sideways. Think I'll sign off the door. 'Cause the fog on the tine is all mine, all mine. The fog on the tine is all mine. The fog on the tine is all mine, all mine. The fog on the tine is all mine.
Could a copper catch a crooked coffin maker? Could a copper comprehend that a crooked coffin maker's just an undertaker who undertakes to be your friend?
And the fog on the tine is all mine, all mine. The fog on the tine is all mine. The fog on the tine is all mine, all mine. The fog on the tine is all mine.
Tell the truth tomorrow, today will take its time to tell you what tonight will bring. Presently we'll have a pint or two together, everybody do their thing.
We can swing together, we can have a wee-wee, we can have a wet on the wall. If someone slips a whisper that it's simple, sister, slap them down and slap it on their smalls. 'Cause the fog on the tine is all mine, all mine. The fog on the tine is all mine. The fog on the tine is all mine, all mine. The fog on the tine is all mine.
It's not nice. Two.
Greetings, Xenophiles. That was Lindisfarne with Fog on the Tyne, for reasons which will become clear in a minute. On this day in 1930, BBC Radio News announcer announced there is no news at the 2045 bulletin and played some music instead. Imagine CNN doing that nowadays. On this day in 1985, Wham became the first Western act to release an album in China. Albert Einstein died on this day in 1955, age 76. Today is Zimbabwean Independence Day, since 1980, with the fabulously named Kanan Banana was their first president. It's Invention Day in Japan, it's Coma Patients Day in Poland, and it's World Amateur Radio Day everywhere, just so you know. And happy birthday to the Roman Emperor Gratian, who's 1,665 years old today. Our guest this week is a Takam. We'll explain what that is in a minute. So we're best friends, but we're sworn enemies on the football pitch, yeah. I guess, is what we are. And I want to ask you about the boxing gloves. We have Lee Hawkins.
Hello.
You all right?
I'm good, yeah. Thank you.
Very good. Now then, first question, I want to ask you about the football gloves, the boxing gloves. The boxing gloves, which are on the photograph that we used.
Yeah.
And on the, it's from your school's website, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a teacher, by the way. We'll get into details. But the picture is you be looking all formal, and then when you hover the mouse over it, it suddenly turns into you with some Union Jack boxing gloves. Why?
So all of the staff members were asked to bring an item along to kind of display some characteristics of either them or the way they teach or something that resembles themselves. I'm very sporty, so I thought I'd take something sporty along, but I also think that it represents a bit of bravery. You've got to be brave to get in a boxing
ring. That's fair enough, yes.
And mm-hmm. a bit of determination as well.
Yeah, all right. Oh, fair enough. So we'll do the usual stuff. We have a small interruption. We've got a sponsored track in a minute. But before we play that, I'll do the usual very first question. Lee Hawkins, who do you think you are? I know that's fight and talk where we're from.
I think I'm just a fun-loving guy who is up for a laugh, takes himself seriously, but not too seriously as well, and that's it, I think.
That's what it is.
Sum it up a little bit.
Fair enough. Okay, now we'll get into the usual usual structure, but first, our good friends at Carrefour would like us to hear this.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferită de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Pe cine vrei să omori, pe celălalt îți dau bani să zbori. De sus e mai simplu, de sus e mai simplu. Dăm pariuri să piardă, dăm cuvinte să mă creadă, dăm benzină să-i trimit, dăm motive să-i agit. Dăm, dăm vise să promit, dăm merme să-i convin de cum mă simt, de cât mă simt. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm baie de foc. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm jocuri de noroc. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm să le dau să viseze, să mă distreze, să nu se întristeze. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm carne de tun. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm bani de tutun. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm să le dau să fumeze, să se calmeze și să mă urmeze. Dăm bani să cuceresc luni, ți dau să-i dai la nebun. Dăm timp să mă întind pe pământ, să fiu de neînfrânt până devin sfânt. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm paie de foc. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm jocuri de noroc. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm să le dau să viseze, să mă distreze, să nu se întristeze. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm carne de tun. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm bani de tutun. Dăm tot, dăm, dăm să le dau să fumeze, să se calmeze și să mă urmeze.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferită de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life.
The Rollback.
Tell me about your childhood.
As the man said, your childhood. Yeah, we established your attacking, but the listeners might not know what that is.
Yeah.
So where are you from? Where are you from?
I'm from Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of England. To touch on the Tacum statement there, I believe Steve is from Sunderland,
Macum,
where they used to make or Macum in our accent the ships, and we would tack them or take them and set sail and take all the glory.
Yeah. That's basically it.
Yeah. Still doing it in football terms these days.
Well, do we have to talk about that? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So about Newcastle. Newcastle's a big place. Where were you from?
West End of Newcastle.
West
of Hope, Newbiggin Hall area.
Some people know where that is. Many people listening, I've got no idea, but I do.
Yeah, not many in Romania, I don't think, which is probably a good thing.
Newbiggin Hall. Right, so were you part of a big family?
No, relatively small. One sister, one cousin. Typical mum and dad.
Mm-hmm. What did mum and dad
two
do?
Two grandmas, two granddads.
Two of each?
Yeah.
Imagine that. Everyone has...
Pretty lucky.
Here's the thought. Think about this. Everyone has two parents, four grandparents, eight great-grandparents... 16 So if you go back like 200 years, there must have been billions of people on the planet.
I suppose I've got a big family if you go that far back, but the ones that I knew, there was about eight of us.
Right. What did you folks do?
My dad is a joiner, carpenter, builder.
All right.
For those who might not know what the term joiner means, my mum was predominantly a cleaner for most of the time that I've known her. She did other things before and after, but predominantly worked at the airport and moved on to managing the company that cleaned aeroplanes and picked things up and crossed seatbelts.
Which explains something I was going to ask you about, which happens later. We'll come on to that when it comes on, because that was like, when I saw that jump off the page, I was like, what?
Seriously? It's a strange one.
Okay, now, so you, West End of Newcastle, so quite an urban kid then, playing football in the streets, not in the fields.
Yeah, kicking footballs off garage doors and things like that, but we were very lucky, actually. The street I lived in was a bit of a big horseshoe. In the middle of that horseshoe was a big field.
Nice.
With two football goals on, which, as long as the bonfires had lasted, the grass grew back and we could play on it. Yeah. Off the council came around and cut the grass.
But it actually had goalposts. We didn't have to just put courts down to be the...
For a long time we did that, but then, we got lucky and got... There were only little five-a-side ones, but...
But still.
Better than nothing.
Goalposts are goalposts, right?
Yeah. It was more mainly used as sort of a climbing frame than a goalpost. But we all would take turns and trying to knock people off, so...
right. Now, we have established that you're a teacher already, but how was school for you? As a pupil?
I was a bit of a mixed bag, I think. I don't think my teachers thought I was the best student, but I quite enjoyed school with my mates. I saw it as, I suppose, just somewhere to hang out with my pals. All the people I grew up with around where I lived were also the people that I went to school with. So it's just like, I suppose I didn't have necessarily a big family of my own, but like all my pals, all my mates growing up was... with me in school, after school, till it got dark.
Right.
That kind of thing. So.
Did you specialise, I mean, were you good at it?
At school?
Yeah.
I think so, but I was obviously distracted a lot because I had all my mates with me, so.
Right, fair enough. Yeah. Did you have any particular preferences? I mean, were you kind of sciences and maths, or were you literature and soft or hard skills?
No, it was...
Humans or real?
I was obviously into my sports, PE, but I think I quite liked art a lot. I was never any good at it, really, reflecting on it now, but I really liked it and I pursued it until I realised I wasn't very good at it.
This puts into context the other part, which is when you were a teenager and you were thinking, when I grow up and I'm a big boy, I'm going to be an astronaut, a doctor, a lawyer, a crane driver. What? A graphic designer you wanted?
Yeah, wanted to be a graphic designer. I thought, I'll be really good at that.
And then somebody said, but you can't draw for toffee, mate.
Yeah, so I stayed on at school after the initial, your normal up to 16. Uh-huh. I stayed for an extra year to test out art. And I still stand by that my ideas and theories were great, but my actual practical stuff was terrible.
Wow, but now you could do it. You could use... all the Photoshop and InDesign and all of those tools to do it. You don't have to be a good drawist anymore. You just have to have the idea and know how to click a mouse.
That would be the dream. I'm getting old, so I used to have to use a pencil and a bit of paper when back then. So.
You're getting old? Say that in front of me. Outrageous. If I'm going to Newcastle, now, normally I say to the guests, I've never been to your hometown. Of course I've been to your hometown, but I haven't been there for a long time. Mm-hmm. If anyone who hasn't been to Newcastle is going to go to Newcastle, like, in the summer, what's the first thing you got to look for?
The first thing I would say, the first thing that you kind of notice going into the city from any angle would be the football stadium. I would say you have to go to a match.
Right.
That would be obviously it's time sensitive. You can only go when it's on. So if there isn't a match on, or if you're there midweek or something like that, then I would suggest down by the quayside.
Yeah.
Lovely restaurants, art galleries, things like that, a few pubs.
Is the big market still a no-go area on a Friday night?
It's actually really nice now.
It's all gentrified, is it?
Yeah, it's getting gentrified a bit. It's actually really nice. Well, I say that. Last time, I've been abroad for 12 years.
That's
so
fair enough. Yeah,
when
I
dip in and out of it, I've enjoyed it. So.
Okay, yeah. The Cooperage is gone though, isn't it?
It is closed down. The building's nearly gone, I think.
Every time I went there, I thought, if I go up to the upstairs room, I'm going to fall into the River Tyne.
Yeah, it's similar with the Quilted Camel as well. It's for anybody who's listening and doesn't know, it's an old Tudor building, so they've been around for like 500 years. Luckily, we don't get any earthquakes.
Well, not yet. Anyway, right, let's move on. Clock's ticking. You've got to play some Jimmy Nail. Jimmy Nail, what an unlikely star he was.
Oh, brilliant. I love him. Cult hero in Newcastle.
Tell me why you picked Jimmy Nail's Big River. It's kind of obvious. Big River, right, Tyne?
Yeah, it's all about Newcastle, the River Tyne. If you listen carefully, although he's a little bit older than me, the kind of the lyrics and the meaning behind them describes pretty much me growing up in Newcastle, and I love it.
Oh, let's see if he starts to well up listening to this now. It's going to be... The nostalgia will come flooding back, probably if the both of us listen to this. Jimmy Nail, Big River, all about Newcastle. Let's listen up.
Walking on cobbled stones, little bits of skin and bone, jumping on a tram car for a ride. I can remember then, as I was just a boy of 10, hanging around the old quayside. Now all the capstans and the cargo boats and stevedores are gone. Like the seas live on, 'cause that was when coal was king. The river was a living thing, and I was just a boy, but it was mine. The coaly time.
Now, to listen to the whole song, you'll have to listen to the podcast version because the clock is ticking. It's worth listening to the end, all 5-6 minutes of it, but we can't play it all now.
Good people gather around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back, Expat Life. Lee Hawkins. Now, do you want to be rock star or film star with a name like that?
I'll take either.
Okay, both then.
Yeah, both.
Okay, like Billy Bob Thornton or whatever, not him, the other guy, the one who was with Lady Gaga in that film, whose name I can't remember. Brandon. Doesn't matter. That's him, yeah. Moving on. Now, so you realised you weren't going to be a graphic designer because you couldn't draw. So what happened at the end of school then? What was your plan?
I didn't have one.
Oh, excellent.
I think that was
love
a problem. Yeah, well, my plan was obviously a pipe dream. I just kind of floated around doing different jobs. As you mentioned before, my mother was a manager at a cleaning company at the airport, which was 15, 20-minute drive from my house. So she got me a job cleaning aeroplanes. That was my first job.
Wow. Yeah. Is it as fiddly as it looks?
Yeah, it's horrible. It's genuinely horrible. It depends on which job you get given, but
right.
I think when my mom was on shift, she would try to do the opposite of looking like she was giving me favors. So I always got the toilets. I always got the toilets. When my mom was on shift, I always got the toilets. When everybody else was on shift, it was dealed out more fair.
Oh, right.
But that was her way of showing that she wasn't giving me extra.
No favoritism, no nepotism going on here.
Yeah. I obviously didn't enjoy it.
Evidently. How long did you stick that for then?
It was meant to be just for the summer after having just left school.
Right.
I think it extended on a little bit into, I think, around November time.
Okay.
Until the airport kind of calms down a little bit into winter.
Right.
But it was 2 12-hour shifts, Friday and Saturday, which was obviously not great when you're a teenager.
Oh, hell no.
I know. I did finish at 10 p.m. though, so I would go straight out afterwards.
Straight down the big market.
Yeah, and it was quite nice. I used to find... I mean, at the time, people listener might not even know what these are, but Game Boys, CD players, things like that.
Stuff that passengers had forgotten.
And so you'd have two bags. One was a found bag, one was a... Probably shouldn't be saying that, but one was a found bag, one was a rubbish bag.
The secret save with us, nobody's listening.
wallets got handed in, because that's just nasty, but...
Yeah, because that's true, yes. Okay.
Walking sticks or anything less interesting, but...
Glass eye? Did you ever find a glass eye?
I probably would have kept that. It's a bit strange, isn't it?
Would have been funny. Right. So after that, then what happened?
So I had about 20 jobs, I think. I tried my hand at everything and anything. It was mainly kind of retail stuff because the Metro Centre is a big, huge mall in Newcastle.
It was the biggest in Europe when it started.
It was
built on former church land, which meant it couldn't open on a Sunday.
Yeah, unfortunately, by the time I worked there, it was. And that's the worst thing about retailers. Most of your shifts are evenings and weekends when you don't want to be at work.
Exactly.
So I didn't like them.
Because you want to be shopping, which is why you have to be at work.
And your friends were all out having barbecues during the summer, and you're in there till 9 o'clock at night, and it's red hot outside.
Barbecues in Newcastle.
I was going to, I said red hot as well. I mean, red hot for Newcastle, 19 degrees.
Everything's relative, yes.
Yeah, but I didn't like them. Then, so I would try my hand at other things. Obviously, money wasn't great. Didn't have any qualifications, anything. Just doing sort of kind of bottom of the barrel kind of jobs in terms of career wise.
Jobs, not careers.
Yeah, that was it. Bit of everything. Did some call centre work. There's loads in Newcastle. Potted around from different ones of them. Actually, then got sick of it and thought I'm moving to Corfu. Yeah, so me and my pal got on a plane with, I think we had about £200 in our accounts.
Right.
No jobs. Got off the plane, didn't have a return ticket, nothing. Just looked for jobs. I did a number of different jobs in one summer in Corfu as well. Barman. I was a bouncer for one night. I did not enjoy that one little bit. Nobody listened to me. I'm not the big, I mean, I'm big enough, but I'm not the biggest of guys.
You should have had the boxing gloves with you.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy that. I was standing looking at people having fun.
Yeah.
Having the least amount of fun I've ever had.
My job here is to stop them having too much fun.
Yeah. Keep them out of the fountain was my instruction.
Oh, no.
But, you know, nobody's doing that in the middle of a nightclub in Corfu, so.
No.
So then, that was a great summer, though. I actually was a chef for a couple of weeks, and I kind of cook.
A chef? How did you blag that?
So I went in, I said, got any jobs? I was hoping for a barman or something.
Like you're Sir Hughes, give us a job.
Yeah, she said, go on, give us a job. And she says, can you cook? I was like, yeah. She's like, okay, you start tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Cook, so, beans on toast.
Well, that was it. Luckily, it was in a resort, so most of the people were...
drunk.
Yeah, or hungover. So... Most of the orders were full English breakfast, which is right up my street. I mean, it's pretty much the only thing I do cook myself so, when I'm at home. So that was fairly easy. But the very first order was a girl came up. She was like, can I have a Greek salad? And I was like, yeah, and took the order. And then I was like, come around here. Took her around the kitchenette. I was like, what's in a Greek salad? She was like, a normal salad, but with a couple of olives and stuff like that. And I was like, all right, what's in a normal salad?
You're from Newcastle.
So she basically just told me what a Greek salad was. I have no idea if she just added loads of extra stuff, but she got whatever she asked for.
And then when you turned the oven on and said, so what's the gas mark? She said, no, it's a salad.
Yeah, I didn't have a clue. I luckily managed, I think they realised that after a couple of weeks, they stuck me behind the bar and got an actual chef instead.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because serving drinks you could do.
Yeah, easy. And got to drink a few of them as well.
Of course. you have to join in.
Yeah.
At a point, you got bored with all this, and before you ended up into QA, tell me, this leapt off the page at me, right? Now, I am pushing forward because I'm conscious of the time.
Yeah.
Deal or no deal?
Yeah, I was...
There were 21 Lees on Deal or No Deal.
I did
the research.
is that?
Yeah, 21 people called Lee.
How do you even find a fact like that?
It's everything's on the internet, man. and they won everything ranging from nothing to a fair old bit...
Yeah, I was closer to the nothing, but I got enough. So now I was sat at work one day, and I was in a call centre. I hated it. Lovely hot day outside. Well, relatively hot day outside. And I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. But I had a bit of debt going on silly holidays that I shouldn't have went on. And
Corfu?
Not that one, but there was a few. And you know, silly little thing. So I had a little bit of debt that I had to sort out if I wanted to take myself seriously and go back into education.
Right.
So I thought, how am I going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And genuinely, I was sat just messing around on my computer at work and up popped an ad saying, would you like to be on Deal or No Deal? I applied on it. I applied for it. And I got an email back like 2 weeks later. Took me down to Bristol and I was on Deal or No Deal. So... obviously, everybody wins something, but it's just random what's in your box.
Right. I mean, if you haven't seen this TV show, it is the most outrageous quiz idea for a game show.
Yeah.
It's like you stand there and you got a box, and there might be some money in it. There might be a little bit or a lot, and that's it.
Yeah, you get.
And they might it last an hour.
Yeah, you take out other boxes, you find out what was in that, and you get offers from the banker. The very first round, I took out the two biggest amounts of money. So I wasn't pleased about that. As it went on, it just got worse and worse and worse. And I actually had a fiver in my box, £5. And the second to last offer is the one that I took. I was offered 4,000, so I took that, meaning that I managed to wrangle quite a lot of money out of the banker, considering I only had £5 in my box.
2016, 9th of March.
Is that it?
That was you.
There we go. Nice. I didn't even know that. You'll have to share that with me.
I found you.
Yeah, so that was just about enough to pay off my debt and go back. So I was happy with the outcome. It wasn't $250,000, which I could have won, but
yeah.
I was happy in the end with the outcome.
It wasn't nothing at all. So, and at some point then, so this took you back into education, right? Or straight to... Yeah,
so I had two kind of ideas what I wanted to do. I wanted to either become a teacher or I wanted to still do something with sport. So the idea was to become a physiotherapist, and I tried out a couple of taster courses at university.
Right.
And the physiotherapist one seemed a lot harder. So I decided to go with the teaching.
Okay.
but not just for that reason, but like I really enjoy that. And because I had kind of troubles at school myself with teachers, I didn't want... I thought I could share that experience with other troublesome kids and kind of help guide them through what can otherwise be a not a great experience.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, listen up. We're going to play a bit of music now. We're going to change the order slightly because time's ticking on. DJ Hixie, tell me about this.
It's just an absolute blast from the past. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea and people listening might turn off, but they also might get out of their seats and jump around for a couple of minutes. So.
A couple of minutes, yeah. If you don't like it, stay tuned, because I'm not going to play it all because we don't have time. And if you do like it, stay tuned for the podcast version where you get the whole lot.
Take me up and away, where the music is my fantasy. Take me up and away, where fantasy turns to reality. Oh, Captain, take my hand and lead me to the disco land, so I can do all the things I've been longing to do. Oh, let me sing now. Hey, oh, hey.
It sounds like it's been speeded up.
That's the idea.
It wasn't me, honest. Never heard this before. I'm liking it.
Yeah, bit of happy hardcore.
Bit oceanic, insanity kind of thing going on here. Well, that's enough of that for now.
Expat Life, powered by those beautiful people at Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Chaotic. Quixotic. Exotic.
Welcome back, Expat Life. Lee Hawkins. Now, so you paid off your debts with your deal or don't, so you took the deal and then decided teaching was easier than physiotherapy.
Yeah, makes a few more sense. Holidays throughout the year as well.
Ah, that's also true. And then you found yourself in Kuwait. What happened there?
Yeah, I was. It was my first job offer. I interviewed for a couple of jobs both in England and abroad. It was my first offer, and I just thought that sounds like fun. I know nothing about Kuwait, but let's go find out.
Right.
And then I found out.
And you found out when you got there.
Very hot.
Yes.
And I'm not built for heat. Well, luckily, everywhere was AC, air conditioning, and everywhere. So it was like 19 degrees if you were indoors, but 45, 50 degrees when you were outdoors.
So you didn't go out much?
No, I actually did. I joined a beach club, spent a lot of time outdoors, so I got a little bit more used to it, but
right.
I was usually in the swimming pool, so...
But it seems that you're very sensitive to the sun, because I'm looking at the tan on your face.
Yeah, I've been doing duties on the playground the last couple of weeks while it's been hot, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, you say that it's from. I've got a collar and cuffs suntan. That's it.
Like tractor drivers.
Yeah,
yeah. So Kuwait, just like that. To teach what? To who?
Stuff the children.
Fair enough.
No, it was working in an international school. So I was basically doing what I would do in England, but to children in Kuwait, teaching the British national curriculum as I do here in Romania as well.
Right. How long did you do that for?
I did it for 3 years. Then we took a year off, did a bit of travelling. I went back for another 3 years because I spent all my money while I was travelling.
How long had you been in Kuwait before you realised no one could understand a word you said?
About 20 minutes. This is very torn down now. So I met my wife then. She's from Los Angeles, and we spent the first probably 4 months just repeating myself and translating. So now I do a very conscious effort, believe it or not, to make myself sound the way I am.
So for Los Angeles with a guy from Newcastle, and you managed to hook her in anyway.
Yeah, she hit the jackpot.
Deal or no deal? was it an instant thing? Was it like this from the get-go?
I argue it was. She's not necessarily... No, it was a... Yeah, she was actually the first person I actually communicated with from Kuwait.
Okay.
She worked in the same school as me, and she was sharing information with me before I got there. And then when we did meet, we had everything in common. It took me a while to convince her that
right.
she should get with me and go on a date.
But eventually she won't have to ask you to repeat everything 3 times.
No, she's actually subconsciously... Speaks in a bit of Geordie now. She'll say the odd word here and there. And she'll say that she doesn't. She says me instead of my quite often, which she massively denies. And then she did it in a text message not long ago. So she couldn't even argue about that one.
Right. That was conscious.
It was down on paper. Yeah. She texted it. So
cool. So you said you came back and you spent all your money and then you went back there again.
Yeah. That was the idea. So we went back. First time I went, I didn't really know what I was doing. Just thought I'd go and do a bit of exploring.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up meeting a lot of cool people, travelled the world a little bit with them. Did so with what is now my wife, wasn't at the time, but is now. We had a year off, travelled around. And then we went back with... So we were pretty done with Kuwait, but we went back because we knew the school, we knew we could get a job quite easily while we were travelling.
Right.
And with the idea of getting a deposit for a house and this kind of stuff, a plan this time.
Oh, a plan?
Yeah, we had a plan.
All grown up suddenly.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Wow. And then from Kuwait, you ended up what, straight here or was there something else going on?
So, it was straight here after Kuwait, but it was via, for Christmas we went to Sri Lanka. And we were in the...
As you do.
Yeah, as you do. We were in the absolute back end of nowhere in a national park in this hotel that only had 6 villas and a swimming pool. And it was actually Christmas Day in the swimming pool. We got talking to another couple, an English guy and a Romanian girl.
Right.
And they were telling us that they're international teachers. They've been doing the same thing that we've kind of been doing.
Uh-huh.
He asked where we were. I work in Kuwait. Oh, I used to work in Kuwait. No. What school do you work? I was like, I work in the English Academy. And so I used to work there. And,
oh,
you know,
wow.
This guy. And it actually turned out that when he left, I actually took his job in Kuwait.
Oh, wow. Look at that.
He spoke very highly of Romania.
Uh-huh.
As did his Romanian wife, obviously. And when we come to look for jobs about a month or two later, we started looking and one jumped right out, which was where I work now, International British School of Bucharest. We remembered all the great things that we were told in the swimming pool in Sri Lanka, and we applied for the job, got the job, and when I've told this story a couple of times here in Romania, they've actually, hang on a minute. And the some of the people that I work with actually know that guy. So
right.
bit of a strange story. So bit of a random one.
So IBSB.
Yeah, that's where we're at. An just around the corner from here.
It's not far. You know, all my life I thought it was up there in Sector 1.
That's BSB. There's lots of acronyms.
Ah, right.
Yeah, there's a few of them. CSB or CBS.
And what do? You teach stuff to kids?
Stuff to
as
kids.
You said, yeah. Say,
I'm a primary
you're more
teacher.
Than that. You're more than that, because it says in your CV that you're I've forgotten what, tell me.
I'm a primary teacher, so I teach English, math, science, geography, history, everything.
Oh.
Everything to kids any age between 5 and 11, but currently they are 9 years old in my class.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you, but there's something else, a key motivator, or what's the other?
Head of Key Stage, I think.
That's one.
So, yeah, Key Stage 2 coordinator, looking after the teaching and learning of the kids and making sure everybody's doing what they should be doing to an extent.
So if you want your kids to be taught by Lee, enroll in the IBSB.
Yeah, I'm very good at it.
IBSB.ro, I think, is the website.
I think so. And I'm a lot better at it than I was
so.
At all.
He's not sure. But now talk about the football.
So when we got here, I wanted to obviously make friends. My passion is sport and football particularly. And found a group, the Bucharest Nomads. Lots of good guys having kick arounds and kind of small pickup games, but I was hoping for a little bit more competitive 11-a-side football, maybe it's a Sunday league team or something like that. But
right.
Quickly found out nothing like that really existed. So,
you have to create it.
Yeah, a bunch of the guys from the Nomads at the time felt the same way. We played a couple of like 11-a-side games against friends, kind of just putting it together and renting a pitch. And we thought, well, if we combine these two teams, we might be actually quite good.
Uh-huh.
So we formed a club and joined the Romanian league system, and we play in Liga 5.
Yeah,
had a couple of games in Cupa Romania as well.
Wow!
I apologise about my pronunciation.
And where are you in the league? Higher than Sunderland for sure.
We're in the league, isn't it? I think we're 13th at the minute, but with a lovely run of fixtures coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Meaning ones you're likely to win.
Hopefully, yeah. We played the last two games, probably, in my opinion, the best two teams in the league. We got a draw and a narrow defeat, although the draw probably should have ended in a win.
So where's the next game, and who with and when? And I might want to come and watch.
Yeah, we're playing at Agronomie on Sunday,
right.
The campus in the university. Uh-huh. 5 o'clock kickoff, and we're playing Fujarul Bucharest. Again, I apologise about my pronunciation. I'm told it means either thunder and or lightning.
Fool Gerald.
That's the
lightning.
So we're playing those guys. They're near us in the table, so we're hoping to put on a similar performance as the last 2 weeks, but with a better result.
Very good. Okay, well, just cheer them on. Yeah. let's see what's going on here. Now, clock's ticking. I want to play you some more music now. Rihanna and Calvin Harris.
Mm-hmm.
I see you've got the... You like your dance floors.
I do.
Yeah. Why this one?
Without sort of speaking ill of places, we were a bit sick of Kuwait. It was a bit of a hopeless place.
I see what's going on here.
That is where we found love. So it was pretty much perfect to sum up my wife and I's relationship. And it was actually our first dance at our wedding, where my brother-in-law played it on the cello before it led into the beat drop, and then everybody joined us.
On the cello?
On the cello, yeah. He's a cellist.
Wow.
Yeah. So then it went crazy. Great memories, great times, and perfectly sums up us.
Let's go.
Sums us up.
Lovely.
This is Expat Life. You know you want it.
Expat Life.
Next chapter.
Welcome back, Expat Life. Lee Hawkins, next chapter, last chapter of the show. We've got about 2 minutes. That's how the time flies away. Now, we've already getting complaints from the audience, I understand, about your not enough confidence here. You're not hoping to win.
I am confident. I was being kind of
being
polite.
Modest.
Yeah, one of the players said that we don't hope to win. We want and will win. So, yeah, I like that attitude.
Yeah, correct.
I have the same one. I was just trying to be a bit modest.
Do or do not. There is no try. Yoda, was it?
Yoda.
Okay. So, what is the future? Is it more of the same? You're going to climb the leagues?
Hopefully, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, start by getting a bigger profile, I think. That comes with winning games, I suppose, getting sponsorships, things like that. So, if anybody's listening and wants to help us out a little bit, you can get in touch.
Okay, so how do we find, your team must be on the socials and stuff, so yeah, how do we find you if we want to?
International Bucharest CF, in Facebook, Instagram.
Right.
You can find us on there.
International Bucharest CF.
Yeah, Bucharest, like the Bucharest spelling, not the English proper one.
The proper spelling.
Yeah, we thought it would be true to the roots.
Bucharesti.
Yeah.
Ah, right.
So yeah, you can get in touch, you can come along, you can follow the page, you can mm-hmm. come watch some games and get involved. If you're a good player, you can come along and for us as well.
Marvellous.
Always looking for some of the youth players as well.
Especially ones under 21.
Especially, yeah. Especially if you're born 2004 later. Yeah. Sounds a bit wrong.
Well, no. I understand what you mean. So that's it. And so just more of the same.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. And continue to enjoy Romania and the mountains and all the good stuff it brings.
Which it does, yeah. Especially now the summer's coming and the weather's getting nice. It's going to be marvellous. Tell me your motto.
My motto? I think live by the way that you treat people the way you want to be treated, and while you do it, have fun.
Fair enough.
That probably sums me up.
Yeah, that feels right. Yeah. After I've known you for an hour now, and it feels about right. we have to go because the students are coming.
Yeah,
Unreal.
I'm going to ask any of them if they're any good at football.
Well, what a great idea! Frank Turner, photosynthesis. Tell me.
Well, if you listen to the lyrics, I think it best describes me. I'm getting on a little bit now, but I don't feel like that I am inside. So it's a song all about kind of sticking true to having a bit of fun and not conforming to the social norms and things like that. Although I do have a mortgage and a job now, like he sings about, but the rest of it kind of fits.
Yeah? Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Very, very, very good. Thank you, Lee Hawkins. Nice story. Nicely told. I think we're going to have to bring you back, though, because, you know, to get into a little bit more detail in some of these stories.
I would happily come back. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Marvellous. Frank Turner, photosynthesis. Thank you, Lee Hawkins. This has been Expat Life.
And I won't shut up. And most of all, yeah, I won't grow up. All maturity's a wrapped up package deal, or so it seems. A ditching teenage fantasy means ditching all your dreams. All your friends and peers and family solemnly tell you you will have to grow up, be an adult, yeah, be bored. No one's yet explained to me exactly what's up.
And most of all, I will not grow up. And I won't sit down, and I won't shut up. And most of all, yeah, I won't grow up. And if all you ever do with your life is just photosynthesize, then you deserve every hour of your sleepless nights that you waste wondering when you're gonna die.
Stay tuned for Umar Rial. Young minds, fresh ideas.
Now I'll play, and you sing. The perfect way for the evening to begin. Now I'll play, and you sing. The perfect way for the evening to begin. And I won't sit down.
Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
New maps, please!
Good night, everybody!
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.